Wow. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Welcome to Zoe, everybody. I love you and thank you for being here. And I'm going to pray. Praise God. Everybody bow their heads. Dear Father God, I thank you for this day and this time with your people. I thank you that what you give me to say will minister to every hearer today. Have your way in all of our lives, and thank you for this opportunity to minister on your behalf. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I asked the first service, does anybody know the history of Mother's Day in this country? All right, okay, my niece. Anybody else? I thought since we're celebrating it, I thought I'd read a little bit about the history and how it got started. The Mother's Day holiday, the modern holiday of Mother's Day, was first celebrated in 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. St. Andrew's Methodist Church now holds the International Mother's Day Shrine. Her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States began in 1905, the year her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, died. Ann Jarvis had been a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War and created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother by continuing the work she started and to set aside a day to honor all mothers because she believed a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world. In 1908, the U.S. government rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking that they would also have to proclaim a Mother-in-Law's Day. However, owing to the efforts of Anna Jarvis, by 1911, all U.S. states observed the holiday, with some of them officially recognizing Mother's Day as a local holiday. The first being West Virginia, Jarvis' home state, in 1910. In 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day, held on the second Sunday in May, as a national holiday to honor mothers. So that's where it got started, and I got this from the Wikipedia. So happy Mother's Day. Praise God. We honor you. You're awesome. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, I'm up here today. And a while back, I mentioned the first service, I was thinking about who I would like to have come minister on Mother's Day. And the Holy Spirit drafted me, you're going to do it. I said, but I didn't say anything. I was, I let the staff do what they do. And then Pastor came to me and said, we want you to do Mother's Day. I said, okay. And I couldn't argue because I'd be disobedient. So after knowing that I was going to minister today, I asked the Lord, what he wanted me to talk about. And so I was thinking about it because I don't want to be just up here talking. I want to give what the Lord would give me. And so I was laying down one day and he woke me up. I was laying down. He woke me up. He said, you reap what you sow. And he said, what's the other one? If you don't be weary in well-doing, because you'll reap if you faint not. So let's go to that scripture. It's in Galatians, the 6th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. And when he was telling me, I didn't connect that they were together. I mean, I should know that, but that don't be weary in well-doing if you reap not. I didn't know they were right next to each other. I hadn't thought about it. But anyway, it says, Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I think everything that we do is a seed. Yeah. Our thoughts are seeds. Our reactions are seeds. Our deeds are seeds. And I believe that we're all a product of seeds that have been sown in our lives, or seeds that we've sown in our own lives. You know, maybe sometimes ignorantly and sometimes knowingly, you know, seeds that have been sown in our life. And when I reflect on that, I think about my mom. But before I go there, let's go to, hold on just a minute. Let's go to Proverbs 22 and 6. Okay, Proverbs 22 and 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So the Hebrew word for train is shanak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's shanak. And it means to initiate or discipline, dedicate, or train up. And so I decided to look up initiate. And initiate, one of the definitions is to introduce into the knowledge of someone a subject. So you're introducing something to someone. So as parents, we're introducing our children to many parts of what have been sown into us. And when I think about my mom, I don't know where she got all of this, probably from her mom and her dad, but I feel truly blessed. And by the way, my mom's birthday was yesterday. I know we celebrated my birthday on yesterday. My birthday's May 1st, but her birthday was May 11th. And when I reflect on her, I think about, I have so many good memories, and I appreciate her so much, because a lot of people are born in families where they don't get all that I got. And so I really appreciate her, and I love her. And when I thought about, when I reflected on what my mother imparted to me, it was a lot of good, a lot of good. It was some things that she didn't know about that she passed on, which I got over, you know, as I got into the Word. But I just want to talk about a few of the things that my mother imparted in me. And let's, before I do that, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 16. Okay. Verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And I was thinking about how powerful the Word is. The Word can minister to children. Children can learn the Word. Children are smart, and God made them that way. A lot of times they may be exposed to stuff that they shouldn't be, and they're taking that in. Those are seeds sown. But as we present the Word to our children, they can get it. They can get it. And at the time when I was a child, I mean, I wasn't thinking about all that. My mother was putting these scriptures in me. You know, I was learning them. I didn't know the significance of the power of the Word. Things like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," the 23rd Psalms, the 121st Psalms, the Lord's Prayer, that's in Matthew's fifth chapter. Is it the fifth chapter?
Sixth.
Oh, sixth chapter. I knew the verse, but I didn't know where it was at the time. So it's like I'm not. So it's the sixth chapter. What verse? Well, anyway, my mother taught me that. And I didn't know what good it was doing. Some other things that she did was she was a worshiper. She would worship throughout the house. You know, she'd be singing songs, just worshiping God. And I told the first service, I didn't appreciate it at the time. I didn't know she was inviting God's presence in the home so that he could minister to all of us. But I just know we pretty much had a peaceful home until sometime her and my dad would get into it sometimes. But, I mean, it could have been worse. But it allowed God to minister to my heart. And my mother convinced me that Jesus was real through her lifestyle and because God could minister to my heart. There was an environment where my mother, she was loving, she was forgiving, and it helped me to be that way. There were times when I would want to walk in unforgiveness and my mother would correct me. No, no, we're not going to have that. She always encouraged love. To this day, it's only four of us left. We started off with nine. My mother had nine children. But we always got along. We had so much love for each other. And the three that I have left, we love each other. I know that's not the case for some people. But my mother planted the seed of love and forgiveness, worship and praise where God could do like he wants to. So we have to remember to worship God, to invite his presence. Those are seeds sown where God can move like he wants to minister to our hearts. You know, the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. It's a lot of things going on to impact our heart. Things that people do to us, maybe our parents, maybe friends. I remember I felt kind of inferior when I was growing up, but things that normally impact other people real bad, it didn't impact me that bad because of the presence of God in our household. And I thank God for my mom and my dad, but today is Mother's Day, so I'm going to talk about my mom. I thank God for her worship and the things that she taught me. She taught me tithing, and I didn't know what tithing was all about, but I just did it. I just automatically did it. I've been tithing since I was a kid. When I get stuff, I give 10%. At first, when we went to church, you know, it was kind of hard to cough up, you know, my little quarter or whatever, but I finally caught on. And it just became a law to me. I didn't know the benefits of it. I just did it. And so, and I was saying last service, when Amy talked about her tithing and how God deflected things like different sicknesses, I thought about just God even talking to me. He talked to me and he told me who my husband was. And I knew it. It was a strong presence. He told me who my husband was. And I believe that the Lord opened the door through that, maybe through my fasting, just some good seeds sown in my life. Not that I was perfect or anything, but just the impact of my mom, the impact of my mom and her prayers, her worship, her tithing. To this day, I don't know if my dad tithed. He didn't go to church, you know. He was a Christian, though. He believed God. But my mother's tithing and her worship and her prayer, I would see my mother praying, getting on her knees and praying. I don't know what she was praying, but she was praying. I know she knew the word to the best of her knowledge. And she did get filled with the Holy Spirit, I found out later. Because at the church we were going to, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, we didn't do that. I didn't pray in tongues. One of my sisters did. And Lenora, my friend right here, her sister was very instrumental in leading my sister to a church where she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I thank God that was probably because of my mother's prayers. Matter of fact, when my mother got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was when Irma Jean, the one that was a little pissed, though, she was a little character. But my mother prayed in tongues when she was a little baby, and I think that must have did something. That must have did something because she connected with a church where she got filled with the Holy Spirit. My sister, who was she was a little gangster in her day and time. She was out of Compton. But she used to act up, right? Where's my nieces at? Yeah. But she became a powerful woman of God. And so the impact of my mother praying over my sister made, she was like an evangelist in our family. You know, she won many people to the Lord, and she prayed in tongues a lot, even though we didn't. I later on got it. You know, I later on got filled with the Holy Spirit, but I was open to it. And I believe it was because of my mother's heart. She had a loving heart, a forgiving heart, where God could come and do stuff. You know, offense is terrible. Yeah. Offense blocks a whole lot of things. And the devil gets you thinking about what somebody did and gets you off on a trail, and then he's planning stuff to destroy you. Offense is very dangerous. You can't keep offense in your heart. And I'm so thankful that my mama put forgiveness and love in my heart, because that's the way I am. I've been like that. I've been offended, but I don't let it stay. I don't let offense stay. It's very dangerous. You know, even when you're doing the communion, you can't be upset with God's people. You got to pray for them. There's a remedy to when people act up with you. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Those are seeds. Those are seeds. And we need to really meditate on the word and get it in our heart, because we, the body of Christ, we're one. And Satan's always trying to divide us, having us thinking this. Well, why did they do me like that? God don't want us thinking about that. He wants us thinking on, where's the scripture at? Is it Philippians 4? Philippians 4 and 8. Let's go there. It says, finally, I'll read the King James. I'll read the Amplified. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemingly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there be any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. And I'll read the Amplified. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So God wants us to keep us at peace. He said, if you meditate on his word, then you'll have peace. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Pastor's been talking about think like God, thinking like God. You think like God when you hang out with him. You hang out in his word. Some people may think it's boring, but if you get going and stay in there, it's exciting. It's exciting. Right now, I'm reading through the word, and I love it. Because we should study that. You know, reading doesn't take the place of studying the word. We need to study. But just reading the word, I'm getting so acquainted with God. And you know what God wants? He wants us to trust him.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He wants us to walk by faith and trust him. Satan lies to us. He brings fear and doubt. That does not come from God. God wants us to plant seeds of the word. He wants us to plant seeds of love and forgiveness. And it's never too late to start. Don't give up on your loved ones, your children, your neighbors, your enemy. Don't give up on them. But love. Plant good seeds on the ones that are doing you wrong. I'm a witness, and I've done this, and it works. You just keep on loving. People that had a problem with you, don't hate them. Don't be thinking about all the negative stuff and how you want to get back with them. See beyond their faults, like God saw beyond ours. See beyond, because believe it or not, God loves them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He loved the world. He loves everybody. And we're the body of Christ, so we should be walking love. It doesn't come automatically. You have to read about it, hear about it, do it by faith, because sometimes you don't feel like it, especially when people have done you wrong. You're hurt. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the brokenhearted. People need help. People in the body of Christ, people in the world. We got to see how we can love people. And so planting seeds, like I said, of the word, of love, good thoughts towards people. Trash the negative stuff. We don't need to be thinking on that. He said think on things that are lovely and good report. Yeah. That person that done you wrong, it's something good about them. And I've said this before. Pray for them. Love them like God loves them. We have that potential. It was different when we weren't saved. It was different. But we're saved now. We have all we need to succeed. We've been given the measure of faith, and love has been shed abroad in our hearts. We just have to develop it. We have to develop it. And we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So this room is power-packed. It's probably enough people in here to change the whole world. Amen. Praise God. So, but we can't go backwards. We can't go backwards. You can't just listen to what I'm saying today and, oh, it's good at the moment. And that's where the devil tricks you. You have to be consistent. You have to be diligent. You have to continue in the word. The Bible says if we continue in the word, then we're his disciples. We got to continue. And it's not easy sometimes because we have so many things that we have to do. But we do the things we want to do. We do the things we want to do. Sometimes you don't feel like doing this, but this is going to impact your children. You know what your offenses go on, pass on to your kids. Now they hating on people. And then your grandkids, yeah, I can't stand that family. What was the that family that used to fight each other, famous family? Yeah. Where'd that come from? That didn't come from God. That came from the devil. He's out to divide. This is God's earth. This is his world. He created us. God, not the devil. He got kicked out of heaven. And so we must go forth and impact the world. They need our love. They need our patience. They need our prayers. They need our good thoughts towards them. The Bible says to pray for your enemies. To pray for your enemies. So I believe today, I believe that we'll never be the same. You know, he's working on all of, he perfected everything that concerns each and every one of us. We haven't arrived physically. Of course, our spirit man is saved and perfect. You know, when we accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that's sealed and that's perfect. But we have to do what we need to do to keep this body under and keep our mind right. Cast down evil imaginations. Look at the hand thought. I don't receive you. Get that word in you. Let it be foremost. Let that be priority. Really, really, really. Praise God. And we're going to have good success. We're going to impact people's lives. You know, things aren't going to change if we don't do any better. We have to go forward in our authority. We have so much that we don't know about. The other thing about getting in the word, you find out who you are in Christ. Yeah. I talked about Lillian last service about her prayer life. I've seen it in action. I've seen when Obi got hit by a truck. I think he may have died. I don't know. But I saw her pray and her consistency. And you all, you know, all of us have prayer lives. But you blessed me with your testimony yesterday, Lillian. That's an example of how the word works. Yeah. And you all have testimonies. You're all powerful. And I commend all of you. I commend all of you for all the steps you've taken and all the good seeds you've planted in your life and in your children's lives. So the only way we can go is up. Do more of it. Get stronger. Be that body of Christ that Jesus can walk in his full stature. Yeah, devil, you under my feet. You under my feet. And that's what we are, praise God. Now, the scripture that God gave me was Galatians 6, 7 through 9, ended in, don't be weary in well-doing, because you will reap if you faint not. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah. You're strong. And don't listen to anything else. You saw the demonstration about how the devil likes to make us see ourselves as weak and, you know, worn down and whatever. What, you know, you saw the demonstrations. Look at the word. That tells you who you really are. Fearfully and wonderfully made, more than conquerors. You guys are champions. And so that's what I want to leave you with. God, he told me to give it to you, so there it is. Praise God.